from John chapter 10, beginning of verse 7. If you would turn your Bibles there, read along with me. John chapter 10, beginning of verse 7. We find here in John chapter 10 a continuation of the teaching that Jesus had been doing as he traveled around. And as he would do on occasion, he would use a parable for his instruction, and he chooses to do so here in a parable that we refer to as the parable of the Good Shepherd. And we'll pick up our reading here in verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
Well, good morning. Let me join with Jeff and do my part in welcoming you all here, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We've been blessed with life and good health and what's turning out to be a beautiful Lord's Day. And I'm so thankful that you've joined us to worship the God who has given us these things. Today is a very special day. First and foremost, because it's the Lord's Day, and he's asked that we join together as his children and in his presence to worship him as God. And to be reminded, as we've had occasion already this morning, of just how much God loves us and has done for us in Christ Jesus. But today is a very special day for another reason as well. Today, Larry Rouse and Walker Davis are being appointed here to serve in this local congregation as elders. You may be wondering or asking yourself, why do we even need elders in the church? Or why would anybody even want them? And I would just say to that although congregations without elders are legitimate and approved of by God, we have to also realize that they're immature and inefficient and vulnerable in many ways. And in addition, the appointment of elders is an act that fulfills apostolic precedence. When we have men who are qualified to lead and we appoint them as elders, we are simply doing what the apostles did. And to them, this was a very serious matter. And when we read in verses like Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 about the appointment of elders, we see that it was done with much prayer and fasting. And we need that same seriousness and intensity. Last quarter, in preparation for the elder selection process, we studied about the qualifications of elders as listed in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And there was some good debate and perhaps even some disagreement about what those specific qualifications are. But we do all agree that God's desire is that we be guided and led and served by elders. God's plan for the church is that men be appointed to serve in these roles in every local congregation of his people. Men who have attained spiritual maturity and who can provide leadership and oversight in accordance with his word. Christians are described in scriptures both individually and collectively in a variety of different ways, I think to emphasize certain characteristics about them. For example, elders are sometimes referred to as shepherds, the implication being that we are the sheep, and that language, that example was used throughout the New Testament. It was used in our scripture reading this morning. And so we're described as sheep for various reasons, but one of them being that sheep are extremely vulnerable. In fact, they're vulnerable almost to the point of being defenseless. They need protection, they need to be led into safe places and watched over and guarded, especially when predators are around. And so when we talk about the need for shepherds, We need to remember that sheep are not animals that can defend themselves. They don't have any offensive weapons or other means of protection. And I think that's true to some degree when we talk about the brethren as a whole. Perhaps it's due to our manner of life, as described by Jesus in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, he said, for they shall inherit the earth. This meekness that we're to have as Christians in the eyes of the world might make us appear to be vulnerable in some ways. And there are other Christian qualities that we should possess that might also add to this vulnerability. We're to be a peaceable people. We're to defer to one another, sometimes at great expense to ourselves. We're to esteem others better than ourselves, and we're to be innocent in relation to evil. Point being, all of these peaceful and compliant qualities that we exhibit as Christians might in fact make us vulnerable to immoral people, people who wouldn't think twice about taking advantage of us. And so it should come as no surprise then that being vulnerable in some respects as God's people, that He being a loving God and wanting what is best for us, would have us guided and led and protected by shepherds. But having said that, I might also point out that in any collective endeavors that we undertake as human beings, whether inside this church or outside, they need leadership if they're going to be at all successful. When we talk about collective activities, we're talking about ventures that involve a variety of moving parts, different wills and preferences and opinions and weaknesses and tendencies, all of which just kind of flow out of us as individuals and tend to direct the collective efforts of the group. Even strengths, if not properly harnessed and channeled, can end up becoming an impediment to the success of the group. Because you see, unity in the local church doesn't happen by accident, and it doesn't come naturally. And because we are what we are as individuals, when we join together in a collective body, we tend not to blend together without some effort. Unity is only achieved through a great deal of work. And when we read in places like Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12, we see that unity requires compassion and kindness, humility and meekness and patience. We're told that we have to bear with one another and forgive each other. And above all, Paul says, we're to love each other. And in order to do that, we need mature spiritual leadership that will help us get past our differences and set them aside so that we can move forward together towards our ultimate goal of getting to heaven. And that's why having shepherds is so important, and it's so needed in every local church. I want to spend a few minutes with you this morning examining the roles that shepherds play in the local church. And to do that, we're going to look at some of the verbs that are used in scriptures to describe their work, the hope being that we'll gain a better appreciation and understanding of the work that Larry and Walker are being appointed to do this morning. Take out your Bibles and turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here Peter writes, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." The term shepherd is used here in verse 2 as a verb, and it indicates something more than merely feeding the sheep. It's a comprehensive term that's not completely defined in the context here, but very simply involves being what a shepherd is to sheep. Whatever a shepherd is to sheep, elders are to be that to the local congregation. And the reasons behind the qualifications for elders as laid out in scriptures can be seen in the type of work that they do as shepherds. As Christians, we should recognize that we are sometimes naive to dangers. We are sometimes distracted by the pursuit of worldly things, and because of that, we need men who can provide wise guidance, timely correction, and pointed encouragement. We need leadership that can focus the talents of this congregation, that can set clear spiritual objectives in accordance with God's word. that can foster in us a desire to work for the Lord, and that provide us warning and protection against those things that can harm us. And so what types of things are involved in shepherding? Well, leading the sheep and protecting them from things that might hurt them, feeding them and making sure that they are provided for, retrieving them if necessary. Jesus said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one? For those who are wandering away from the flock, a shepherd's job is to go and try to bring them back to the fold. Shepherds often have to calm the flock. As I understand it, sheep tend to be a little bit skittish. And perhaps that gets back to this idea that they have no other means of protection. And sometimes we're that way as well. We get agitated and bothered by things. And shepherds can help in calming us down and helping us realize that that next bump in the road is not a life-ending crisis. And we need that because these stresses in our lives can create an awful lot of anxiety, and they can create an awful lot of problems in the local church. Next, turn over in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. While you're turning there, I would remind you of Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, where Paul says to let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. And we should notice in the context of what Paul is saying that there is in this overseeing an authority that is given to shepherds. And this is brought out in a couple of different ways, but one of them being the word rule that is used here. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we're told to obey those who rule over you. We should notice that as sheep, we're to be submissive to our elders because of the job that they are doing for us. We're told that they watch out for our souls. And so this idea of ruling here is indicated by the care and the diligence given to looking out for the well-being of the flock. Shepherds are doing something that benefits us directly. And so how is it that they rule? Well, not by command. And they don't rule because they carry a stick. They rule over us because we, with God's approval, have put them into the positions of leadership. We are essentially saying to Larry and to Walker this morning, we trust you to lead us. And we submit to your authority and your right to rule over us because we acknowledge that you are qualified to lead us. And I've heard this illustration used before. Consider a tour guide in a foreign country. How is it that they lead? Was it not out of wisdom and experience and familiarity with that place? And we follow them because we're in a strange place and we need somebody to help us get to where we're going. Tour guides help lead us past the things that are not important while stopping to show us the good stuff and ultimately getting us to where we need to go. And isn't that what elders do? Isn't that their job in helping us understand what to focus on and where we need to spend our time? You know, time is a precious and a limited commodity. And there are so much things out there that compete for our time that just don't really matter. And so we see that a shepherd's job is to help us see what's really important. And that's a grave charge because the eternal well-being of God's people is in their hands and is being fostered by their guidance and judgment and counsel and oversight. And so elders must be men of sufficient wisdom to lead us where we need to go. Put your ribbon there in Hebrews chapter 13. We'll come back to that verse in just a minute. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The same idea is expressed here in verse 12. We're told to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. The word rule in 1 Timothy 5 and the term over you in this verse come from the same Greek word, which means to set over, to stand before, to lead, to protect, to care for. And these are all action words that describe what elders do. How is it that they stand before us? Well, not literally, although Larry and Walker will have occasions to stand before us, but rather spiritually. They lead us spiritually and they guide us. And verse 12 says that they're over us in the Lord, not lording it over us, but having authority from God to lead. How do you get sheep to go where you want them to go? Well, a shepherd gets out in front of them and he says, follow me. They lead by example, they set the pace and the standard. Being a shepherd is about being out in front, going before us, and in essence showing us how it's done. What a tremendous responsibility they have. And it's amazing that anybody would desire the office when you stop to consider all of the responsibilities that come with it. And yet it's a vital work that God wants carried out because of the need that we have for leadership in the local church. Turning back over then to Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 17, we find the second verb that is used here to describe the work of shepherds. We're told to obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. That verb watch is a pretty neat word because it literally means to be sleepless. To be so attentive to what you're doing that sleep escapes you. In other words, shepherds expend so much of themselves in their duties and their job that they can't sleep. They're busy, they're working, they're concerned about the spiritual strength and the direction of the congregation. Elders are not the hired hands that we read about in John chapter 10, who run when danger approaches. That's not the relationship that Jesus has with his sheep, and it's not the relationship that local elders have with their flock. Shepherds love the sheep, and the sheep love the shepherds, and there are plenty of sleepless nights spent thinking of their well-being and the direction that we're headed in. The next verb that we want to look at is found in Acts chapter 20. Here in verse 28, Paul, in warning the Ephesian elders, gave these instructions. He said in Acts 20 and 28 to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. We don't often tell people to take heed, but that literally means to turn one's attention to, to take careful note of, to be spiritually alert and on guard. Which is why I like how the English Standard Version translates verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Paul's first instruction to the Ephesian elders was to pay attention to themselves. And he warns them about some, even among the eldership, who would rise up in the future and cause division in the flock. Serving as an elder will magnify a man's weaknesses. And the pressures that come to bear on a man serving in this role will overwhelm him if he's not prepared. And it's not a pretty thing when elders are overcome by worldliness or the authority that goes with their position. And so we see Paul encouraging them to turn their attention first to themselves, so that they might consider their own vulnerabilities, because elders are people too. And it's important that they understand their weaknesses, so that they can protect themselves. But that protection extends beyond themselves. It extends to the whole church. And Paul urges the shepherds to be alert to these savage wolves, these people who would see the sheep as food to gratify their own personal appetites. Elders must remember that the church is not theirs, that they are merely overseeing that which has been entrusted to them by the Lord. And we should see in this verse this idea that they're to pay careful attention to me individually as a sheep. Elders are important to my walk as a Christian. Question this morning is, do we see them playing an important role in our personal spiritual well-being? And will we allow them the responsibility that they have of looking after us individually? Because we need to get to know the shepherds, and we need to be comfortable enough bringing life's issues to them. We should also note that a shepherd's job is described as labor. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, we're told to respect those who labor among you. And we see again in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 that elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. There are a lot of important concepts here involved in the verb labor, but the one I would stress with you this morning is the idea that this isn't just some title or honorary position. This is hard work. That word literally means to toil unto weariness. And it's not just physically hard, it's emotionally and mentally and spiritually hard work. And on top of that, most of these men who serve in this capacity are working other jobs to support their families. And so it's labor on top of labor, and those stresses can be enormous. And as a congregation and as individual sheep, we need to be mindful of our behavior and how it impacts this work, whether positively or negatively. And lastly, in this same verse here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, we find the verb admonish. Respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. One commentator defined that as putting sense into the heads of people. And he went on to add, a thankless but necessary job. The truth is, elders often find themselves having to talk sense into people. And that is because people's problems are often created by their lack of good judgment. And so it may be that the elders see the situation more clearly, that they can talk sense into the heads of people by helping them better understand what is at stake, and by bringing to light the godly principles that apply to their situation. Shepherds encourage the sheep to make the right decisions, do this and don't do that. And that can be frustrating on one hand, and it can be deeply troubling on the other, because there is so much at stake, whether in marriages, or families, or even souls that are in jeopardy of being lost. Well, all of the verbs that we have quickly looked at this morning in reference to what shepherds do are based on the premise or the assumption that relationships exist. Elders cannot rule effectively or counsel or set examples or talk sense into the heads of people unless there is a relationship. And we can't stop being friends with our brethren who are serving in this capacity. Elders are not mind readers. We can't hide our problems from them and then blame them for not knowing in times of great crisis. Unless the elders know who is having problems, whether it's in their marriage, or challenges to their commitment to the Lord, struggles at work, those who need encouraged and built up, those who have an unresolved grievance against their brother, those struggling in debt, those who need training as a teacher, or simply those who need a job to do in service to the Lord. Unless they know the sheep, they're not going to be effective in serving in this capacity and carrying out their duties is largely dependent upon relationships. But let me stop here just to say this. I think to some degree we have been conditioned throughout the years to only think about elders when it's time to look around and select them. It really shouldn't be this way. We need to always be talking about the importance of developing strong leadership among God's people. We need to be aware of it on a more continual basis other than when we're looking around to search out and find men to fill this role. We're often quick to point out that the shepherds need to know the sheep. And while that is true, it's just as important, and it's just as much a responsibility that we have as sheep to know the shepherds. And we need to be taking the time now to be building strong relationships with one another. Meaningful relationships where we share meaningful events in our lives together. So that when the time comes for us to look around and consider those who we are going to entrust to lead us, it won't be such a difficult decision because it will naturally come out of our relationships and familiarity with one another. I hope what you've seen in all of this is how servant leadership should characterize the actions of elders in every local church. But no study of the role of shepherds would be complete without mentioning our example in all of this. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, we find that Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd. Jesus embodies all of the qualities that a shepherd is to sheep. And the words and the actions of Jesus, they define what it means to be a servant leader. And if there's anything that Jesus taught us, it's that it's all about the sheep. It's not about the shepherd, or the title, or holding some position, or being able to tell somebody that you're an elder in the church. It's about the sheep and caring for them and providing for them in every way. And it seems to me that the more responsibilities that you have in the kingdom of God, the more rights that you give up. And all of our assumptions about what truly makes a great leader have been transformed by what Jesus taught when he said the last will be first and the first will be last. Let me close by just, first of all, thanking you for your good attention this morning. I hope these thoughts have helped you gain a better appreciation and understanding of what elders do, of their role in the work of the local church, and of just how important they are to our individual walk as Christians. Are you one of the Lord's sheep? If so, what kind of sheep are you? And what effect does your behavior have on this flock? Are you following the chief shepherd? Are you willing to submit to the leadership of the local shepherds that he's put in place? If you're not a sheep, you recognize what a great blessing and comfort it is to have Jesus, the chief shepherd, watching over and caring for you. Shepherds aren't appointed to be served, but to serve and to give of themselves to others. And how far does that go? Well, Jesus says it goes all the way to the cross. You need to make your life right with God this morning. If you're subject to his invitation, then we would ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.